Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, folks, welcome to Free Press Sports with Carl Shashan. Carl, it's a special podcast we have here, partly because of the NFL draft this week, and we have apparently, what's the latest number? 6 to 7 million people are going to be downtown Detroit on Thursday night, and probably another 20 million on Friday, and maybe 30 million on Saturday. It's the biggest event in the history of the city. And here to celebrate, we have Dave Burkett. I'm glad he's here. It's always great when he's here. But I do want to tell our listeners real quickly that, just as a quick aside, I made a pot roast over the weekend. And the first thought I had was, because the draft starts Thursday, I made it Saturday, is it going to keep long enough to bring my pal some leftovers on Thursday night and feed him? But then what would the politics of that be like if I'm just bringing you food and nobody else of our, you know, colleagues around the area?
Are you talking about me or Dave? Because I don't know who your pal is, but
you. Yeah, my weekly pal.
They're going to have so much pizza and stuff and cookies and all this. You know, I don't think anybody's going to notice who's bringing in what, but I just want your salsa, buddy. And Dave will take anything as long as it's chicken nuggets and chocolate milk and cookies, I think.
And no, he's
not his lunch today.
No. Dave, have you ever actually cooked for somebody and taken food someplace at a party, not at a party, but a gathering of actual human beings?
I've cooked food for my kids every day. Have I taken food to parties? Usually, you know, they have this thing called catering or takeout. I tend to rely on those places.
Okay.
Wait, is heating up a Hot Pocket cooking for your kids?
Man, I can
feeding your kids.
I can make chicken like 8 different ways, so we're all good. You know,
yeah, as long as it's in the form of a nugget.
I can't do the breading myself.
You can broast it. You can put it in a. You can bake it. You can microwave it. You can maybe heat it up in a pan.
Grill it, quesadillas. Yeah. You know, you can dress it up. It tastes good.
So when you do the quesadilla, do you actually grate the cheese?
You can buy that from Meijer as well, Sean. Okay. I don't know if you've ever been to the dairy section there. They've got these bags of cheese.
I got you. Well, the point is, Dave doesn't have time for any of this other kind of stuff because he is the man. He's the best beat writer in America, and that requires 24/7 dedication. You don't have time to cook, especially when you got to do how many mock drafts, Carlos?
He's up to 12 at this point. Also, let's not be, you know, I don't want to.
Feels like it.
I want to give Dave his due. And yes, he is the busiest beat writer in the history of sports writing, but, you know, he's got to squeeze in Candy Crush in like 3 different fantasy leagues in there, too. You know, and then I think he coaches about 4 sports for his kids. So, yes, he's a very, very busy man.
I was thinking about that. Priorities are my kids. Right, whatever they got going on, you gotta you know, have a nice little balance with work, then work, and then that pretty much is all my free time. I spent all this weekend at, you know, we had 4 baseball games and a flag football game, and you know, I didn't even make it to my daughter's tennis. So there you go, busy weekend.
I also forgot the most important hobby. The only hobby that Dave has is getting his ankles broken at pickup basketball once a week.
I did play Saturday morning. You're right. So
yeah.
Did somebody gross you up?
No, come on, man. Carlos, he's making that up.
Well, that's sort of implied, right?
The only thing I can do these days is I can play defense and I can facilitate. So I can't get to the hole anymore. You know, so you got to know your role. It depends who I'm playing with as to how many shots I'm getting up.
You don't ref anymore, do you? Did you drop that finally?
Well, you know, I do ref, but not as much. I don't really do it in season, right? Not during the draft. So, you know, coming up this summer, I'll probably pick up some assignments. Yeah.
Just, I want the readers, the listeners out there and the readers to think about this. When you think about the totality of what Dave Burkett writes, and he's the others, you can't sleep more than 5 hours a day, right? There's no way, right?
I think that's why, you know, I like Jim Caldwell so much. And he liked me, right? It was because neither one of us could sleep. Like, I don't sleep very well. No, not at all.
You guys had a lot in common,
but Yeah.
Yeah, you had a lot in common. That's why you saw eye to eye each other. You had the same number of playoff wins, too, the Lions. So, yeah.
That's cold.
Yeah, tough.
To answer your question, I'm not much of a sleeper, no.
Well, you said, could Carlos make stuff up? We don't say that, right? We don't say that around here. You're the only one that makes stuff up at the mock draft. So tell us who the Lions are going to take, who they need to take, who they should take. Should they give their pick away? As Carlos writes, just to mess with the people downtown.
No, you know, the art of the mock draft is to do, once you get up to about a half dozen, you've pretty much covered all the bases. So that way you can be like, yeah, I had that guy going to the Lions back in February, but I had it right. So I think for everyone out there who hasn't read, that's not many of you, I hope. I think I'm on number four. I think this was four. And the last three, I've given an offensive lineman to the Lions. And some of it is just the way the board has fallen. But I do think, you know, there's a couple guys there that would fit. They have some long-term needs at the position. I want Zach Frazier from West Virginia with the last mock draft. You know, he's going to be an interior lineman, played mostly center in his career. But, you know, you think about the Lions, you have two 30-something-year-old guards, 30-something-year-old left tackle in Taylor Decker too. But, you know, Decker and Kevin Zeitler is on the last year of his contract. You know, Fred Gregg now has some injury history. I just think it makes a lot of sense knowing how much they want to make that a strength, keep that a strength to take an offensive lineman at that spot. I don't think that's, you know, they're not locked into that position by any means. I could see a defensive lineman like Darius Robinson. I could see a cornerback, someone like Cooper DeJean if he falls, or Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri, though. You know, just talking to some people around the league, it sounds like, you know, maybe he's a guy that could be available in round two. So I think the Lions have plenty of options there, but offensive line makes a lot of sense to me.
All right, let me ask you this, okay? This, and you know, your BFF, Daniel Jeremiah, said this. I've been saying this for a while. You are 4 points away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You have some serious needs at quarterback. You probably have some serious needs at edge rusher too, right? Anywhere on the defense almost, really, but those two positions. And you're going to draft a backup offensive lineman. You're set with the offensive line right now. I mean, I don't know if they get one of the, you know, the chubby dudes in the middle, if they're going to say, okay, we're going to have a contest with, or a competition with him and Graham Glasgow. You know, this is the year that you're going to take a potential backup. And I understand, of course, Sean's favorite thing in the world is winning the trenches and the offensive linemen and the worst athletes on the field. And we got to make sure we have that. Okay, whatever. You have it. It's done. You replaced Jonah Jackson with another Pro Bowl caliber guy. I think he made the Pro Bowl, right? The new left guard that you're taking a backup, potential backup, the year that you're knocking on the door to the Super Bowl. Does that make sense?
You know, I think, Carlos, you forget Brett Holmes does not keep depth charts in this draft room, right? I mean, he's
there's no window too, by the way.
Yeah. No, I mean,
windowless.
It's the right approach, and people say it all the time. Is like, hey, draft talent, you know, not for need, and that is how you build long term teams. But look, I think you make a good point, and anyone who wants to make that point, like I'm kind of this belief myself. Like at some point, you get close enough that like you're in a window, you need to take advantage of that window because you don't know how long it's going to stay open. And I would say at 29, like the cornerback that you take there, I don't know what sort of prospect it's going to be. You know, like, you're probably not getting the top two cornerbacks in the draft, Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold. And, you know, those guys are I think they're kind of in a class by themselves. Cooper DeJean from Iowa is probably number three, and maybe he's there. And so maybe that's a guy that they take. You know, I certainly could see that. I wouldn't rule that out at all. And there's some other, you know, cornerbacks. Like I said, I wouldn't rule that out. But I don't know. Like, if you take a Kool-Aid McKinstry, is he starting right away? He's probably not starting over Meek Robertson, Carlton Davis. Brian Branch is your slot. So you're sort of, the Lions are in a good spot right now where they legitimately have one of the best rosters in the NFL. They don't have many holes for starting. In fact, the position they probably need most is a number three receiver. You know, that guy is guaranteed to play more than anyone else they draft at any position. So
it's a super deep draft at receiver, though.
It's deep at receiver. You know, it's deep in the offensive line. But ultimately, you know, it's going to be some prospect that they have rated in their top 15 is going to be there at 29 because all these boards are different and that's who they're going to take. And, you know, maybe it's somebody like Jack Campbell where we're kind of like, wow, I didn't see that coming at that point in the draft, but it's going to be a guy that they like. And when I look at, or when I did my mock drafts and you kind of look at some of the prospects who fit, that's where a Zach Frazier comes in. That's where an Ennis Rakestraw comes in. these guys that, you know, when you look at the consensus mock drafts and the Mel Kiper rankings and some of those things, like, they're probably not checking in their top 30 prospects, but they really seem like Lions type guys. You know, they fit, they would fill a need. They're guys that I could see playing. And most importantly, they just have a lot of those intangibles and traits that the Lions seem to value in their football players.
Well, what about Mosley? Where does he fit in this? Because every year they bring in these quarterbacks on one-year deals. I'm like, oh, this is the new star. Cam Sutton's amazing. He's never going to get beaten. You know, and Emmanuel Mosley's amazing.
Wrong word of choice.
You know, yeah. Well, oh, well, sorry about that. Yeah, that's the thing. They bring all these guys. But I think was Carlton Davis, it was a trade. I don't know what he had. Does he have 1 year left or how much does he have left? But
yeah,
look, Meek Robertson's, you know, 5'2 or whatever. You know, he's going to be a great player on the outside, I'm sure. I mean, every year, the new quarterbacks they bring in are great guys, and then they're all pretty mediocre to awful. And the problem is, too, if they're going to be good, they're not going to have a high draft pick. When are you going to have your chance
right
to draft in the top 15 for a decent quarterback? You got to trade up to get them. And if you're not going to do that, if you're going to draft a quarterback, it does take a year or two for non-elite guys to get their footing. Jerry Slay was like that. It took him a second year until he got better and more dependable. So when does that happen? When do you make the commitment? So we got to fortify the back end.
I think, but the same, you could say the exact same thing about the offensive line, right? Like, there's some age and injury concerns at all three interior line positions. And same thing, Taylor Decker's in the last year of his deal. So I'm with you, but I think those are, you know, it's six of one, half dozen of the other, because it's the same thing. Like, those are both very important spots. Just you look at what Brad has done and historically and how the Lions want to build this roster and build this team. Like, his first pick was Penei Sewell. You know, he spent all these, you know.
And he wanted to, by the way, trade up to get Ja'Marr Chase at four. He didn't want to use that pick on an offensive lineman.
He likes his receivers, but you look at what he's done with defensive backs. He's never taken one early. The Rams, even when he was with the Rams, they never took one early. All the guys, a lot of the guys that they brought in were day two type guys. So just as I look at sort of the smoke signals coming from Allen Park, I see them taking a defensive back on day two. Now, the one thing I did in Sunday's paper, and I believe it's online Monday when we're recording this, was, you know, I sort of look at three draft scenarios every year, right? Like, different things, different ways the Lions could use their picks. And this year at 29, I did one trade up, one trade back, and one sort of staying put. And Carlos, to your, you know, suggestion, like, I had him moving up to take Terrion Arnold from Alabama, thinking like maybe he goes second among the cornerbacks. He ran a 4.51, so, you know, maybe he doesn't have the speed that some people want, but he was really, really good. Had five interceptions last year, you know, was you know, arguably the best player on Alabama's defense. And that's, you know, Dallas Turner and Kool-Aid McKinstry were out there too. So, you know, maybe he's the guy that you go up to get, and he is that starting caliber cornerback that you want. And so if it's not one of the Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold, I don't know that you're moving up to get that position. And I don't know from the Lions' perspective if the value is there. Remember last year, they would have taken Devin Witherspoon had he made it to six. He didn't make it to six. So I think there is a, you know, a caliber of cornerback that they would take in the first round and maybe even go up to get. But they don't have a fourth round pick this year. So if you do that, you're leaving yourself a little bit light in terms of the number of holes you can fill or the amount of young talent you can add to the roster.
You know who else was a pretty good SEC cornerback and had like four interceptions?
Darius Slay. I don't know who.
Tease Tabor. Yeah, go get another.
Spent a lot of time watching film on him.
Yeah, no, go get another slow guy. No, he was like a 4.6, but still. I don't know.
By the way, do you think he watched the tape of Tease like on 1.5 speed on YouTube or something, and he thought he was faster than he was?
When I listen back to my recordings, I do it on a little bit slow-mo, so maybe he got confused and he's oh, I got this on slow-mo. It's okay.
That would be the problem, is it'd be the fan base is still, you know.
Jeff Okuda. We don't even have to go back that far. I mean, Okuda was number three pick, and
well, Okuda failed for different reasons. But Tease, everybody hated the pick right away. Everybody liked the Okuda pick at the beginning. It was the Tease one was like, he's slow. And then Quinn's like, no, but I watch so much tape.
Well, but, you know, there is an In Brad We Trust, you know, segment of, you know, this right now, because he's been so good at drafting. I think a lot of people have a lot of faith in what Brad does. So I don't think, look, There's a lot of good cornerbacks in the draft. And as I said, to me, there's two that are sort of in there, the top tier, and then Cooper DeJean from Iowa. And I know You guys saw him play in the Big Ten, right? I mean, maybe he's a slot guy. Maybe he's a safety. Maybe he's an outside corner, really good punt returner, like that sort of versatility that the Lions like. That, and he had some injury questions himself. So if he makes it, in fact, Sam Farmer from the LA Times had me do his like beat writer mock draft, and Cooper was there, and that's who I gave him. And that mock, you know, I could definitely see them taking, especially with the history, right? They took Jack Campbell and Sam LaPorta from Iowa last year. That's a guy I could definitely see them taking if he makes it to 29.
Well, look, let's take a quick break, and we can come back, and we can talk more about cornerbacks, because apparently that's how you win. By the way, the Rams won a Super Bowl, right? Well, but although they had a pretty good quarterback, but I'm trying to remember, was that a free agent or a trade that they
got? Trade, Jalen Ramsey, yeah.
Yeah, that they got.
But, Ramsey. Sean, just before we break, like, that's why I say often that Carlos is on this cornerback island. I don't discount that. I do think it's a need, but that offensive line, this offense is what's going to carry you as the Lions, right, to success. And you're one injury away on that offensive line from maybe not being able to protect Jared Goff like you want to, and certainly have some longer term needs. So I'm all aboard the offensive line pick if that's how it works out.
Well, I mean, this particular team falls apart without it, right? You were at the I'm trying to think, what at Chicago, you were at the game at the Bears. I don't think Ragnow played. They couldn't move the ball. I mean, it's just it. And Carl throws a poke at me for that, but it's just it's true in general in football, but it's especially true with this roster and this team and the way they're built. You know, and until they go get home,
we get back. So I want to pick that up.
Yeah, let's take this break. We'll come back, and Carl's can tell us about how the Lions don't have Jared Goff. They actually have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, and so they don't ever need offensive linemen. All right, we'll be right back with more Free Press Sports with Carlson Show.
Crime lovers are always looking for new and engaging content.
The Already Gone podcast covers stories from Michigan and the Great Lakes region. Cases you haven't heard before, like the Mayo Hunters or the murder of 16-year-old Justin Mello. Plus, better-known cases like the death of Jane Bishara and Illinois' own Lori Dan. Already Gone started in 2016, so there is a big back catalog for you to enjoy. Find Already Gone on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, or your favorite podcatcher.
Welcome back to Free Press Sports with Carlos and Sean. Carlos, I think, has something to say. Maybe he was going to talk about L'Jarius Sneed, who everybody wanted the Lions to go get this offseason. Where was he drafted, Dave? I want to say the fourth round.
There's been a lot of really good cornerbacks taken in day two, day three.
There you go.
Look, I think you could probably say that about any position.
Of course you can. That's true.
Yeah. But no, Sean, look, the very first thing that Brad told me, like that morning of his first draft, was, and he was talking about building this beast, and he wasn't specific about the position, but, you know, obviously when they took Sewell, like it sort of came to light, like that's the foundation that he believes in, you know, and that's what Dan Campbell believes, and that's why this offense has been so, so good. I mean, a lot of people, myself included, believe that's why the Lions have gotten so much out of Jared Goff. And, you know, this team's Super Bowl hopes this year, they need a better defense, no doubt about it, but they're going to win because of their offense. And so as much as I you know, you don't draft for need, and you know, if you want to be specific about a need to go attack for this year, maybe it is somewhere on defense, but I think there's something about having insurance for that offensive line that would just allow you to sleep better at night when you're looking ahead to this season and what the Lions can be.
Yeah, you know, and there's no question that you have to have this offensive line until the NFL gets smart and turns it into 7-on-7 football and gets rid of this stupid thing. Yeah, you need an offensive line, but you can get them here. Let me tell you this. Sean brought up the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Their starting offensive line, not one player in the Super Bowl was a first-round pick. Especially interior offensive linemen. You should be able to find those guys. I think it's easier to find a guard and even a center later in the draft than it is to find a starting caliber outside cornerback. I think you need that.
Who's behind that offensive line? Who's taking?
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
What do you
can go.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Here, it doesn't matter if it's Patrick Mahomes. You know, the Lions have Ben Johnson. He's going to find a way to protect. There's different ways to protect guys. you know, and I don't disagree that you need an offensive lineman, that you need them. But right now, in this window, you don't need a backup guy right now. And the only thing I'll say about this is, unless Brad Holmes knows a lot more about Frank Ragnow's health and thinks this guy is not, almost certainly not going to make it through the season, or he's on the cusp of whatever it is, if he knows that, and like, I have to have a starting center, or I have to have, you know, whatever it is, you know, like, if he knows that, that's a serious concern. I agree with that, that if you lose Ragnow, then that's probably worth, I would still try to prefer to find someone in the second round, but they're also picking late in the second round, so that's going to make it more of a challenge. But as it stands, if you believe that Ragnow can, you know, make it through the season, you've got your starters right now. And I would love to see what Holmes does, because he's only picked, that offensive line has been a Bob Quinn production. You know, this is the first year that they're going to have just three guys from the Bob Quinn era instead of four. 80% of it, you know, was Bob Quinn. So, you know, you have Penei Sewell, but he was the seventh overall pick. So you're going to be picking late. I want to see how good Brad Holmes is at finding a starting offensive lineman later in the first round.
Yeah, look, I think you're right that the Chiefs, and they're not the only team that has tried to build like this. But the reality is that there's different ways to build your teams, you know, and when we're doing these mock drafts, where you kind of look ahead to what teams are going to do, like, go on the history of it, you know? And so I wouldn't think the Chiefs would, you know, that's not how they build. They're content finding some of those mid-round guys, and you're right, third-round picks, those are offensive guards that stick around a long time. Jonah Jackson, right? I mean, this happens. But that's how they build. That's not how the Lions build or want to build. And so that's why I think this is in play. And Carlos, I do, to your point, as I looked at the roster, like, to me, a bigger need might even be tackle than guard, because who do you have behind Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell? You know, and Decker is in the last year of his deal. At least in the interior, you know, you've got Kayode Egbuseka, who played a little bit last year. You got Colby Sorsdale, a fifth-round pick last year, who, you know, the Lions, you know, took as a developmental guy who got a little bit of time last year. So they have some options there, but...
The mighty Dan Skipper?
Yeah, I mean, Skipper will be around. The only one, you know, but, I mean, go back and look. They cut Skipper last year and brought him back when they had some injuries up there. So, you know, the need...
The Dr. Kennedy, the offensive line, yeah.
They're maybe not as you know, pronounced as they are on defense, but I don't think you have to scratch too far, you know, beyond the surface to realize that there are needs at that position.
So, Davey, do you agree with Carlos? You don't care who the quarterback is?
No, I mean, you're right. Patrick Mahomes is going to do what Patrick Mahomes does all the time. But I do think, regardless of who that quarterback is, you need to protect him. You need to do a good job. I mean, Joe Burrow this year, right? He was in the injury, wasn't, you know, completely that. He got hurt in training camp. But, you know, when you see, look, when you have an investment in your offense like the Lions do, like the Chiefs do, I would be of the belief that you want to make sure you protect that investment with everything you have. You know, we did our basement this year, you know what I mean? And it's like, do you want to upgrade the insurance on the basement in case something happens, or you just want to leave the cheap thing that doesn't cover, you know, if you have some water damage down there? No, you want to make sure that you take care of that, right? You want to make sure that you up that policy. And so for me, if I'm the Lions and I've sank all this major investment into my offense and we're really, really good on that side of the ball, well, I'm going to go ahead and make sure that I have some insurance, because I don't want that thing to fall apart, because if it does, we go from being a 12-win team to an 8-win team.
I mean, Carlos, you may not care about Mahomes, whatever, and you can say that, but that doesn't make it not true. I mean, that doesn't change the reality of it. Jared Goff, if he's on the move at all, struggles. So if this team can't protect him, then I don't care if it's Ben Johnson. I mean, I'll say that now, because that's true. That's reality. The numbers back that up. If Goff has to move, he's not an NFC caliber, NFC title game quarterback, Super Bowl. He's just not. And that's no offense to him. That's true of most quarterbacks. That's not to single him out, but this is how the Lions are built. That doesn't mean they have to use the 29th pick. I'm with you, Carlos, but I'm just talking about philosophy in general and the way this team's built. It's not crazy to think that they would.
Well, here's the question is, how many offensive linemen has Brad Holmes drafted, Dave?
I believe it's just the two, Sewell and Sorsdale.
Yeah. So that's the thing is, it you know, is he potentially lacking confidence that he can find guys later in the draft that aren't first rounders, that aren't high first rounders even?
No, I don't think Brad is lacking confidence.
In offensive line, he hasn't proven. He hasn't done a lot with the offensive line. He's inherited Bob Quinn's offensive line. You know, what is he? Penei Sewell. Yeah, that was a great, very good pick. which he didn't even want to pick. He wanted a Ja'Marr Chase, you know? So,
but why would he lack confidence?
He hasn't put that offensive line together. He's inherited it.
I mean, he's been part of drafts for like his entire adult life, basically. I'm pretty sure the man feels confident in his ability.
I'm saying certain positions. You know, we all know general managers are better at picking certain positions than others, you know, different, you know, so one side of the ball, different positions, whatever. You know, we haven't seen it from Brad Holmes yet on finding some golden nugget offensive linemen. So if he doesn't feel confident, like I can find a guard or whatever, center later in the second round, or I maybe I can move up, you know, midway through the second round or even in the third or whatever, I got to use my first round pick on a guard, on a backup guard, you know, who can play center. So guard center, you know. And your point about tackle is it's true. But the other thing with tackle is that's also, it's hard to find tackles, good tackles later in the first round, right?
So you're basically saying he hasn't taken these guys because they're hard to find. And so maybe he lacks confidence because he hasn't taken guys that are hard to find and he hasn't found up to his standard. Like he found one guy at number seven who's up to his standard because that guy's a really, really damn good player in Penei Sewell. Like one, like the best offensive lineman in the league, one of the handful of best offensive linemen in the league, regardless of position. And he didn't need them at other spots in the draft because he inherited a pretty darn good offensive line. And then they went out this summer and or this offseason and signed pretty darn good guard to replace the good guard that they lost. So I don't think Brad would lack confidence.
Well, you're just saying that there's concern about the backups, the tackles, that they don't have a lot of depth.
In my eyes, yeah, they don't. Skipper's the only tackle that they have right now.
Right. So why hasn't he drafted? If the offensive line is so important, why hasn't he drafted guys in the third and fourth round, you know, or even Sorsdahl? Sorsdahl's not great. He's just an average backup probably in the NFL, right?
Well, because A, the roster changes. Last year, they also had Matt Nelson there. So they had a young guy that they liked. They didn't bring Matt Nelson back. He also broke his leg, whatever, last year. So, and then B, like, I mean, look, Brad said this, and this is not just parroting him. This is like the reality. Like, why are you going to draft somebody if you don't think they're good or they're not going to fit or whatever? Like, you don't just draft a position to draft it. And so if he hasn't found that, you know, guard, tackle, whoever it is in round three or four or five, like why spend a pick just to spend a pick? And, you know, it's not like, I mean, his third round picks have been Melifonwu, who didn't do anything till last year, but it's turned out to be, you know, look pretty good last year. Kirby Joseph, pretty darn good. Aleem McNeil, pretty good. So like he's spending third round picks on really good players for this defense that has made this defense pretty competitive. So yeah, I don't fault him for not drafting one. I'm just saying, as we look at where we are in the here and now, I think the Lions could use some additional help on the offensive line, and I certainly expect them at some point in this draft to address that position.
I don't know what to say. I'm glad you're here to witness this, but I don't know what to say.
Well, you guys are both talking about how and you know that he wants to build through the offensive line, and this is the way he wants to construct it. And Sean thinks that Jared Goff will trip over himself and puke if he doesn't have, you know, five Pro Bowlers. So, you know, yeah, you need, and that's okay. If you have that philosophy in the offensive line, we're going to build for the trenches and the offensive line, whatever, but you haven't done it. I guarantee you, I can take 1 minute on profootballreference.com and find guys who were drafted in the third and fourth round who were pretty good interior offensive linemen that Brad Holmes could have drafted if he felt he was really needed to, because how many guys, 7, 8 guys are active, right? Offensive linemen every game. So you need backups. You're going to, if someone's going to get hurt, and especially on this line with Ragnow, then there's going to be injuries. You need viable backups. So if that is important, you need to lower.
Okay, look, last year they had Vitae, let's call it Vitae, Awosika, Skipper, and Matt Nelson as their backups. Like they were pretty good 1 through 9, like not like Matt Nelson is going to go start and win you a game for the Super Bowl champs necessarily. But like, I mean, they took a lineman last year in Colby Sorza, who was a developmental guy who was essentially their 10th lineman. And then Vitae got hurt and Matt Nelson got hurt. And, you know, when Ragnow and them got hurt Jonah got hurt, he ends up playing a little bit, but that wasn't the intentions, but he did draft one. It's just now when you look at the line is in a little bit different shape in terms of they don't have a second offensive tackle. Their two backup interior linemen are now Awosika and Sorsdahl, who are both more unproven than Vitae or Glasgow was, whoever was going to start the season as the sixth lineman last year. So And you add in the age, everyone's a year older. You add in the injury histories of Ragnow and, you know, the contractual status of you know, a couple guys being in the last years of their deal. Panay Sewell all of a sudden, you know, going to get a deal that's going to pay him $30 million a year. Like, there's a whole lot of factors that go into it, why it's a little bit different situation now than it was before. And to me, all those things point to, hey, you know, at some point you're not going to be able to go out in free agency and spend $10 million, $12 million, whatever, on a guard. So you might as well take one at 29 because you can plug that guy in at a cheap rate for the next 4 or 5 years while you're paying Panay Sewell, you know, the market rate of the best offensive lineman in the game. And when you re-up Taylor Decker and you sign him to a deal that's going to pay him, let's just call it $15 million a year. So when you have investments at right tackle, left tackle, and center, it makes sense to add another young lineman who will be on a rookie cost-controlled contract that you can count on to be a starter for a long, long time.
I just want to make something clear. I'm with Carlos, and I understand Carlos's idea that all sorts of ways to put a football team together. It's just that this is how this one's built, and this is where they are right now. So they want to double down, triple down on that. I mean, that's all. That's all this is. It's not that the way the Lions are doing it, you have to do it that way. Obviously, plenty of other teams do it a lot of other ways and have success. So I want to be clear about that. It's just this is where they are. And it's not that Goff has to have a clean pocket every time, but the numbers go way down. And they know that, you know. And it's true of most quarterbacks. When you give them a little time, especially a guy like him, as accurate as he is, reads defenses as well as he does. I mean, you give him a little bit of time, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. It's sort of amazing. I don't know that any of us would have said that a few years ago, right, Dave? I mean, I can remember standing out on the practice field with you in the summer. And I don't know, right? But you didn't know he was getting, but you didn't, yeah, none of us did. And this is what he did. So I sort of understand them wanting to stay with that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's kind of what I said, right? Like, there's different ways that you build a team. And I said that to Brad at his press conference when I asked the question about the offensive line last week. And to your point about the Chiefs, Carlos, that's exactly right. Like, that's not how they've built their team. But that doesn't make anyone right or wrong. But when you're looking at the draft, again, I just put a lot of stock in history, like Howie Roseman, the Eagles. He's been a GM for a long, long time. He's never taken a defensive back in round one. So he's probably not going to take one. That's why no one mocks him defensive backs now, right? The Lions, you know how they want to build. They want to build through the trenches. And that doesn't mean they're not going to take a cornerback or a receiver. Obviously, there's something about those flash positions that Brad likes. He went up to get Jameson Williams. But, you know, as I'm just taking my best dart throw, I think I would lean towards the Lions taking an offensive or maybe even a defensive lineman like a Darius Robinson at 29.
How much do you think they're going to, beyond the first round pick, let's just, you know, whatever, how much are they going to address the defense? Because that still remains, you know, a concern.
Yeah, and look.
When will they take a cornerback? Is it?
Well, I do think you look at all the guys that they brought in, like it's a lot of second round type cornerbacks that they brought in to look at, you know, so I think that's the, you know, maybe the sweet spot for them. And again, that doesn't mean they're not going to take one at, you know, 29, or if they trade down it, let's just throw a number out, 35, right? Like they could take one with their first pick of the draft because, you know, they brought in Terrion Arnold. Quinyon Mitchell was a local visit guy. You know, they brought in Kool-Aid McKinstry, Ennis Rakestraw, you know, all these cornerbacks that are sort of in that mix they brought in. And so, but, you know, some of the other corners that they brought in, like Nehemiah Pritchett from Auburn, you know, these Drew Phillips from Kentucky, these guys are like probably, you know, top 100 draft picks. So they're making sure that they have their bases covered so they can, you know, if it shakes out that way that they're taking one in round two or three, they don't have a fourth round pick. You know, I would assume Brad wants to, I don't, you know, the trade down part is a little tricky this year. It's a lighter draft in terms of numbers. Like, yeah, you want a fourth round pick, but at some point you're going to get to a point in the draft where like just the back end isn't quite as good as it is some other years because of all the guys that stayed in school. So, you know, to hit all the sort of backup needs that they have, right? They need a number three receiver. You could use some more pass rush at either position on the defensive line. You need a cornerback, right? That backup offensive lineman. Well, there's four spots right there and they only have three picks in the first, you know, four rounds. So how do you attack it? You know, without a trade down, you're going to leave one of those spots bare if you're drafting on need, which we know they don't do. But I think a lot of their likes will line up with players at those positions.
By the way, did Carlos say Robertson was like, Amik Robinson was 5'2"? That went over.
I let that one slide without getting on him about that.
How tall is he? How tall is he?
He played good, man. Yeah, for sure. But that doesn't mean he can't be a good cornerback. I mean, he played pretty good for Vegas last year. So, you know, look, regardless.
So Cam Sutton played well for the Steelers, too.
Yeah, and, you know, Carlton Davis last year was contract. I think they need it at
cornerback. Shut down corner Carlton Davis, by the way, eliminating one side of the field. I'm wrong about
that. So you think the cornerback that they pick at 29 is going to be a shutdown cornerback?
No, he doesn't think that. He knows that.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but you've got to take one at some point, and maybe you trade up and get someone, get your guy who's your guy that you say is worth trading up to get in the high teens.
Well, I said either of those cornerbacks if they slide, Mitchell or Arnold, but I think Arnold is maybe more likely to be there because of the 40 time, even though he had, you know, really good ball production and played in a better conference. But, you know, I think there's a clear top tier of cornerbacks of those two. And then I'd put DeJean sort of on his own separate, you know, tier at number three because of the injury history and some of the, you know, the questions about where he's going to end up playing position-wise. But
what'd you think of Snead? What'd you think of Snead when you mocked
him? I like Snead.
As a fourth rounder, did you think he'd be this good?
I couldn't tell you that. No, probably, of course not. I mean, I don't even know that.
Should they have traded for him?
This year? I am of the belief that when you have this window of opportunity, you do what you can to try to maximize it because you never know when the window is gonna close, right? And I think the Lions have a Super Bowl contending window. Like they have a team that can win a Super Bowl this year or next year, but at some point they're gonna have some contractual things and age things that are gonna catch up with them. Okay. So myself, I am of the belief that you do what you can to maximize that. But when I look at the Lions and how they operate and what Brad Holmes wants to do and keeping one eye on the future, I don't see them making that trade for L'Jarius Sneed. I don't see them making a huge move up to 12 to get, you know, the player that everyone, you know, would agree that, you know, would be a difference maker on the defense. I don't see them doing that. So, you know, we're talking.
It cost them a third rounder. It cost the Titans a third rounder to get Sneed. And then they had to extend him.
Yeah. Right? A lot of money. No doubt. And, you know,
you're instantly better, much better.
In L'Jarius Sneed was not my all pro team. So I'm not disputing that. I'm not saying they shouldn't have gone for L'Jarius Sneed. Like, I like that. I like L'Jarius Sneed.
They should have. If he's on your all pro team, of course. What, how can you say they,
he was on my second team all pro team this year? I would have, but that's, but I'm telling you, do I think the Lions would do that? No, I didn't think the Lions would do that because that's not how they do things. But would I have done that? Yeah, but my job also doesn't depend on it because whatever does or doesn't happen, I'm going to have a different fix for it next year where, you know, the Lions, all GMs, right, they're taking a longer-term view of things and they're trying to build this thing, you know, to be sustainable for a decade and not just contend for 1 year. And so they value those draft picks differently. And they you know, the way that they weigh the contractual situations and cap implications of doing one big deal for a cornerback when you also have to do a deal for Penei Sewell and Aiden Hutchinson and Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And right, there's a budget that they're constrained by where me, I'm not constrained by that budget. I go pay L'Jarius Sneed and I don't care what it costs me because it's not my money and it's not my budget that you know, causes me to not be able to do different things. So yes, I would do it myself, but I never thought the Lions would do it because of the situation that, you know, the way that they've gone about building this thing already.
Well, the cap always goes up and by a lot, you know, almost every year. That's one thing. You can, all the financial cap shenanigans that they do, moving money and, you know, converting things into bonus and all this stuff, there's ways to do it. They do it all the time. You know, can you go sign every premium guy? But, you know, Snead was, it was a reasonable deal, right? Like $19 million average, you know, salary, whatever.
Look, I don't.
That the Titans gave him.
Here's the reality is that the cap never constrains anyone. You know, what constrains people is your actual budget. And when, you know, you're going to sign Jared Goff to a $200 million deal and you're going to have to give him $50 million this year in a signing bonus, and you're going to sign Amon-Ra to a, you know, $120 million deal and you're going to have to give him $40 million in the signing bonus. And if you happen to get Sewell done, you're going to give him, you know, a deal that pays him $30 million a year. And you're going to, so all of a sudden you're paying out bonuses that are going to be $200 million to all these people. So the reality is you can't go and sign everyone. And so I don't know that that's, you know, how much, if at all, that came into play with the Lions, but I just know that, you know, when you're building an NFL team, the general rule of thumb is you can pay like, you know, 8 to 10 guys, you know, really good contracts. Okay. And so the Lions are starting to get up there, closing in on, they have their 8 to 10 guys. And that's where some of these draft picks come in handy, because you know what, maybe you're not able to keep a Fatu Milifonu next year or Kirby Joseph down the road. And so you got to get a safety at some point. They don't have any backup safeties right now. And, you know, the same can be said for cornerback. Like Carlton Davis, he's not making $20 million a year, but he's making $13 million a year, and that's not cheap. And you're going to have to replace that, him and that number at some point here. So, you know, there's a lot. It's super easy for us and me too to say, yeah, go pay this guy. But I think it's just a whole lot more complicated than that, just based on, you know, the numbers and what you have to give up and who you have to replace. And, you know, it's always a huge puzzle where the pieces are constantly moving and you're trying to fit them into one big picture.
Do you think
I could listen to you all day?
Do you think that, and Brad's talked about this, but, you know, specifically, I'm not trying to keep going on the cornerback thing, but just my last question on this is just, you know, as you mentioned, he was a cross checker for a long time, you know, for the Rams on cornerback. Does he know? And he even said he's a snob about the position.
Right.
Does he just know too much about it? And he just sees too many of the faults to think, you know, this guy's not worth that. And they do get hurt a lot. That is a reality too. But do you think he just knows too much about the position? Does not want to take too much of a risk in the first round on these guys?
Well, I think it's fair because, again, you know, it's not right. Like, he liked Devin Witherspoon last year and the Lions would have taken him. I mean, it's been talked about, written before, right? They would have taken him at 6, and Brad admitted it, right? Their plan was to take him at 6 and then trade up and get Jahmyr Gibbs from 18. And when Witherspoon went 5, they, you know, pivoted and traded down and took Gibbs at 12. And that's how they ended up with Jack Campbell at 18. And so, you know, I think they're, yes, he holds those guys to a high standard because he's seen it and he's seen what works and what doesn't. But I think ultimately what it is like, if you don't fit that box, right? If you don't check the vast majority of things he's looking for in that box to be a first round pick at that position, well, then he knows you can have success in round 2 and 3 if you check half of those things. And some of those guys that only check half of those things get pushed up because a lot of teams say, well, I need a cornerback, so I'm going to take this guy right here at, you know, 24, even though he only checks a handful of those boxes. Where Brad is saying, well, you know what? He only checks a handful of those boxes. So to me, I value him as being, you know, a second or third round pick in the draft. And that's where I'm going to wait to take him, because if I don't get him, there's another guy that checks just as many boxes, maybe a couple different ones, but just as many boxes that can play for me. And so I'd rather take a guy at 29 that at offensive line or wide receiver or somebody that I believe has more potential to be a star than, or more, or a higher floor, right? More guarantee that he's going to be a long-term contributor for me than this cornerback who has a little more risk that I can get someone of similar value to, you know, on day 2. So I think that's where a lot of that comes in, because you look at the Rams history, you know, they took a lot of defensive backs, safeties rounds 2, 3, 4, and those guys were successful and then they let them walk. And as the Lions are building this team, like, that's just how I see what I expect them to do with the safety position, right? Because they took these guys in round 3, they're going to get some really good years out of them, and then they're going to look to replace them. And so we're talking a lot about cornerback here, but maybe it's a safety that they take on day 2 instead of a cornerback.
Let me ask you this.
Just real quick, and Sean, that's why I think DeJean could fit them at 29, because maybe he is that safety, or maybe he is that cornerback. You just don't know, but you get him in and then you can figure it out later. And he sort of kills 2 backup, you know, birds with 1 stone, and then you can figure out where he starts.
No, for sure. They certainly don't have to take an offensive lineman. Do they beat San Francisco if it's Witherspoon on the field instead of Campbell? Because I don't think they do. We were all there. I thought the lack of the pass rush was the bigger issue.
Yeah, that's fair, because you're right. I mean, they, you know, right. That's another area that I think we all look at, like, well, you got to get somebody else opposite, you know, Aiden Hutchinson, but, you know, they want a big end opposite Aiden Hutchinson. They want someone like a Josh Pascal who they've drafted, or like a Darius Robinson in this draft. And if you draft a Darius Robinson at 29, he's probably not going to be a 12 sack a year guy, but, you know, he's going to be a really good player. So I don't know if they do, to answer your question, Sean, it would have been, I'm going to say no, because I just think what happened in San Francisco was just, that was, you know, the dominoes falling of everything going wrong, one thing after another, compounding mistakes. And it was not one player that was going to fix that or make that stop. And, you know, they lived through it. And, you know, I'm anxious to see what they're going to do this year when they're in the same situation, because, you know, I think that experience will be a good teacher for them.
Any final thoughts, Mr. Menares?
Yeah, I can't tell you in my crystal ball that they do beat the 49ers with Witherspoon rather than Campbell. Actually, the one thing you have to say is, you know, that he would have been more of a help than Jack Campbell was in that game. So, you know, it would have been a better, but they would have traded. Who would they? They wouldn't have gotten
Jimmy. They wouldn't have gotten Sam Porter, maybe. I don't know what you trade. You move up from 18.
They could have gotten Gibbs, right? That was their
maybe point. Not Branch. Maybe they don't get Brian Branch.
Yeah, maybe they don't get Branch. I mean, to me, they didn't pressure. They couldn't get enough pressure, and then they struggled with contain in the second half. I mean, Witherspoon may help a little bit with that, but to me, that was just Jack Campbell. You need a better Jack Campbell in there to read and assess more quickly.
If we're being honest, you probably don't draft Brian Branch if you're drafting a cornerback then, right? In round one.
No,
so they don't have Branch for the season, or you use that pick to move up. And so, you know, then you're leaving yourself. Look, the way the draft worked out, I mean, they got some really good players last year. And, you know, those guys are going to help them for, you know, the next few years.
My last question is for Dave is just, what's the biggest win for right now, nobody cares. He could draft a long snapper and everybody like, oh, you know, they break into the Jared Goff chant and, you know, Brad Holmes and all that, whatever. But what's the biggest win? What would appease the fan base the most with the 29th pick? Not person necessarily, but position, person, whatever you want to, wherever you want to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I do think it's probably that the trade up scenario that we talked about, because, you know, just when I tweeted that story, oh, that's sort of what people responded to, like, oh, you know, I kind of like that idea, right? You're getting, so here's the deal. The cost of moving up from 29, you can get to like 19 or 20 by giving up your third round pick, and only 17 or 18 by giving up your second round pick. So if that player falls to 19 or 20, you're giving up your third rounder, you still have a second rounder that you can use. Those picks are like within 12 picks of each other. So that's why there's not that much of a difference. But I think people gravitate to the name more than anything. And if it's a big name that they recognize, especially at a position of need, right? If it's Quinion Mitchell, we got the best cornerback in the draft and that's what this team needs, right? Terrion Arnold, we got the best cornerback in the draft and that's what this team needs. So I think trading up would be the biggest win in fans' eyes, because it would be a recognizable name. It would be at a position that they deem of need. It would be somebody who would, in theory, have a chance to start right away, because the Lions have a pretty darn good 22 right now. Whoever they draft at 29 is probably not going to be a day one starter. So I think in fans' eyes, a move up, even if it leaves them a little shorthanded in picks, would be the thing that they would like the most.
So Carlos, I'm sensing that you don't like the Jared Goff chance. You don't like the benefit of the doubt that Brad Holmes is given by this fan base. You were just sort of mocking that a minute ago. Well, what is it that you don't like about people enjoying themselves with the team?
it just brings me sorrow to have people, so many people happy at one.
I don't understand. I mean, you've had such a good run. I mean, maybe not your Lakers so much, but you know, your Dodgers have won a World Series. They're good every year. The Kings at least are in the playoffs. I mean, your teams do well, right? It's
Kelsey Fuller.
No, I don't care about the
team. So why can't these poor people have a little bit of and a little bit of fun?
No, I don't care. You're making that up. I don't care if people are. They should start a Brad Holmes chant. You know, whatever. That's have fun, enjoy it. You know, my question, Dave, the last question for you is just: is it more likely that Brad stays at 29 or moves up or back? He moves around. He makes it. He pulls off a trade, either going up or down, or he just stays put. What's more likely?
Yeah, that's a good one too. Look, I mean, You know
the answer.
I don't because I think, you know, I think there's pluses and minuses to all of them, right? I mean, like, you know, Brad's a guy that likes to trade. We all know that. And the move up for Jameson, I mean, I guess maybe move up would be the one that I would say, because we're all human, and probably somewhere in his heart of hearts, he knows, like, man, we are really close to winning the Super Bowl. And so if we do go get that guy that we really like, but again, I know it's, you know, costly to move up to get that caliber of player that they really, really. So I guess, you know, could I see them moving up to 24 or 25 for somebody of a lesser caliber? Yeah, maybe it is. Like, let's just say DeJean, right? Like, maybe they do really want a cornerback and they do like him. And, you know, that wouldn't be nearly as costly. And you could probably keep your second and third round picks doing that. So I would say a move up, because I think there's more scenarios where that could happen. Staying at 29, you know, that's fine. I think people would just, you know, it's late in the draft. They'd hum and haw and, okay, we got who we got. In Brad, we trust. Moving down, that would be a little deflating to people because, you know, there would be no first round pick and it'd be here in Detroit. But
look at that. For the listener out there, Carlos is laughing and smiling. That's what he's secretly rooting for.
I mean, that wouldn't just be, I mean, I would, and I was ready to tell Brad when we were at his presser on Thursday, I was ready to tell him, look, because I know he said, oh, I have to do a public service announcement. I almost told him, if you do that, I am have my column ready to say that you're my hero if you do that, because it would just the stones it would take to do that would be it's not the worst idea, but it would
no, it's not.
What is it? 50 billion people downtown, Sean? What did you have? Whatever,
yeah, 100
numbers were at the beginning.
100 billion.
All of China, yeah, and India, all downtown Detroit. Yeah. You know, all Lions fans, by the way, with the new disgustingly gross black jerseys that are weird.
Oh, come anywhere. On. My son loves
them. Dude, they're stupid.
That's
what their 9-year-old likes.
He's you don't think he's going to get one?
Why would this surprise you? Why would this surprise you?
Carlos,
Carlos doesn't like change. Why would this surprise you? Because he keeps talking about Top Gun. Risky business and whatever else. You know what I mean?
You are not their target audience. Their target audience is my son, who's asked me about, you know,
you like 600. You like the black jersey.
Amon Ross St. Brown jersey. I thought the black
jersey.
Like
black and the black helmets too, by the way, or whatever the helmets are, whatever the weird blue black helmets.
Look,
you like.
I don't get into jerseys too much. I thought.
No. You make it a point. You make a judgment. You like.
Yeah, I'm going to answer that. I thought they looked pretty sweet at the unveiling. I don't get into jerseys too much. I could care less about them. At the end of the day, doesn't change my job at all. Doesn't change my life, except I'm going to have to drop $100 on a jersey for my son at some point. But really, that's, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, like, I showed him when the jerseys leaked and I picked him up from school. Like, I scrolled through the photos and he looked at the black one. He was like, oh, that is sweet. I got to get an Amon Ross St. Brown jersey. Like, can you give me one tonight? I'm like,
Of course they're going to like them.
Yes. So, you know, I think there were, you know, again, the jerseys, they are what they are to me. I'm never going to wear one myself, so I could care less. But, you know, I thought it was a good show the other night. And I thought when they trotted him out, I thought the jerseys looked pretty nice.
Sorry to disappoint, Carlos. He looks forlorn.
You can do black better. They look like the Carolina Panthers, basically. I mean, there's a better way to do it. It just looked. I don't know. I just don't. And I like having fun. I like New Jersey. I like different things. Mm-hmm. Trying different, you know, whatever. Really? Some retro. And I understand the black thing. Like, I do like it. And like that. It's almost funny how Campbell probably said, yeah, let's bring back the jerseys. And like, wait, not these. They're just weird. It's just too, it gives me anxiety looking at all those weird colors all in the block letters and all that. But
look, I like bright colors. I mean, you've seen some of the sweatshirts I wear or whatever. Like, give me a nice neon yellow. I've got about, no, man, I wear, that's all I wear, like sweatshirts and stuff. I got like 20 of them, but.
You do have a lot of, you do neon. I give you
that. Yeah, man, because, you know, I'm sort of a positive guy, unlike Carlos, so. You know, I like that. I like that pop of
you, positive is on the inside, not the outside.
You like football too, right, Dave?
Yeah, I mean,
that's probably a difference right there.
So back to football for one thing, just because Carlos said that trade down, look, you add another pick. That's good. That's good for the team, right? I mean, Brad goes to work, right? Let Brad cook. I mean, we've heard people say that all the time. But again, the one negative, this is not a great draft. So I don't know that, you know, like picking up an extra 6-round pick doesn't matter as much this year as it might have been years past.
All right. Well, hey, can we count on you joining us and giving your thoughts briefly at some point later in the week? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, as long as we do it around, you know, the draft schedule and my kids' sports schedules.
No, I mean, if like at some point over the weekend, we're going to record a couple of times, you could join us for a few minutes and just give us your thoughts. Probably not Thursday night, because you're going to be down.
Thursday.
You're going to be among the 100 million people. But
yeah, I'm sure we could figure something out.
Yeah, get your wisdom in here a little bit. I think that'd be nice. All right, we got to wrap this up, Carlos.
Yeah, way too long. Poor Robin. He told us to go short.
I know. Well, we get Dave in here, and this is just how it goes, right? The energy jumps up, which is good. I mean,
yeah, I want to tell you guys,
I've dragging it down all the time. What's that?
I said, I just want to let you guys know, I've been asked to do about 8 or 10 different hits this week, and I've said no to every single one except for YouTube. So,
well, we all, well,
busy week.
We are your we are your colleagues. I mean, we all work at the same newspaper, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know how I operate, like.
I know.
Some of these places would pay.
No, I'm impressed, man. I'm impressed you spend money on your house. That's impressive, Mr. Entrepreneur.
Sean's going to pay you in roast beef sandwiches. How about that?
Yeah, I won't be there Thursday, so
I would make you some salsa, but you don't like salsa, so. But I can bring you some ketchup.
Just bring me a Hostess cupcake, and we'll call it even.
So, oh, do you like the which flavor? Do you like the butterscotch or the chocolate or the?
If it's junk food, I'll eat it. So it doesn't.
I'll see what.
Maybe which one does he like? He lives on chocolate cake.
That's true. Well, but it's the butterscotch. You know, it's a specific thing.
Oh, I like those yellow ones. I do like those yellow ones. I'll be honest.
Okay, there you go.
Yellow tastes good. Yeah, there you go. It's good pleasure.
There you go. All right, Carlos, we got to thank the people so we can get out of here, please.
Yeah, thanks to our guest once or twice a year, Dave Burkett, who press intrepid, you know, basketball pickup player and sometimes Lions beat writer. You'll be seeing him a lot in the Free Press. And who else? Our producer, Robin Chan. Executive producers Kirkland Crawford and Anjanette Delgado, and editor Nicole Avery Nichols. But Sean, most importantly, who do we thank?
Well, the listener. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, no, Dave, of course.
Wow.
No, you just thank Dave. No, this podcast isn't possible without Dave. All we do is want him in here, you know, and he just spurns us every chance he gets. I don't blame you, Dave. You know, we're not maybe the best company. at least I'm not. No. Thanks for coming in.
Awesome. I really enjoy chatting with one of you. I'll let you figure out who that one is.
It's always
the Robin at the beginning.
I'm sorry, Carlos. It's always fun to have you in here, man. All right, no, thank you to the listener. Obviously, without a podcast, so you can find us, as you know, wherever you find your favorite podcast. When you get there, subscribe. Let us know what you think. Rate us. You know, hey, tell us you don't love us. That's fine. You know, I just, as long as you love Carlos, and I'm good. Right, Carlos?
That's right.
I want Carlos to feel the love. All right. Until later in the week, actually, right, Carlos? With a couple of special draft reaction podcast.
Hopefully Thursday night.
Hopefully Thursday night, and then at some point over the weekend. Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back with more Free Press Sports with Carlos and Chuck.